B-Pod Studios.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Near point now, Riley keeps it in. Riley swings to the near circle, Pasternak, pull and drag left of the net, out in front, shoots, he scores! What a dangle that was from 88! Bruins 1, Caps nothing.
He went twixt his legs.
That was
David Pasternak.
Beautiful. A
couple of nice goals between him and Taylor Hall. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. They send you an email in the morning saying to watch. And then right when the show's over, it says, look out, there's a replay coming. Even though you could watch it at your leisure. Billy Jaffe is, of course, an analyst for NESN. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Billy Jaffe, hello.
Mr. Toucher. Hello.
What's up, man? It's been a while since I've seen you. We should get together sometime.
I'm up for it. I've made my way to New Jersey. My next thing in life is getting together with Freddie T. I'm ready.
Are you
for
in Secaucus right now?
Yes. We are.
Wow.
I am. Yes.
So you're doing nice. The NHL television. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
No, it's good. I'm being serious. Good for you.
Yes, that's great. We're getting back a teeny bit more normal day by day, Freddie. You know, and back in Secaucus, beautiful Secaucus. Another show here today. Then I'll be back in Boston tomorrow.
You know, you were in the very same Franklin studios that Joe Franklin haunted
back
in his WOR days.
Oh man, is that the same one that Morton Downey Jr. was in?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh wow, the history in that building.
You were in the WOR facilities. If you're in Secaucus, they have to have reappropriated the WOR facilities. I can't imagine there's more than one big television outfit out there.
You know what? Wait, Fred. I think you're wrong. The WOR is down the street. We're in the old MSNBC. I think. Build, and it's MLB Network that took it over for years and years, and then they carved out an area in there now for the NHL Network.
Okay,
so it's a minute away.
Okay, all right. Well, that was what was proposed, I guess, in Dorchester when this station thought that this was going to be the miracle mile of media, and then the Globe left, and now we're just in Dorchester.
All right, waiting for the lease to run out.
Well, there could be a bad surprise around the corner. I have a feeling that they're going to go, ooh, a bargain, and then I'm going to go, well, guess who's working from home? All right, well, listen, Billy, I watched a ton of the Pittsburgh Islanders game, and I came in hell-bent that I would rather play Pittsburgh than the Islanders due to the goaltending. And then I turn around and I read in The Athletic, Fluto Shinzawa zigs where I zagged, and he has an article detailing all these points on why you'd want to play the Islanders and just how good Pittsburgh is. Where do you lie as we look for storylines going into the next series?
Lame answer. I think the Bruins beat either squad.
That's not a lame answer.
As a matter of fact, our consensus going into the playoffs was that the Capitals were going to be the toughest out of those remaining three teams.
Well, there's certainly these teams aren't nearly as physical. And Fluto does say that Pittsburgh has a punishing fourth line and they were throwing their bodies around. But I watched that game and it's nothing. Nothing like what was going on in that Bruins Capitals.
And the
series.
Bruins did well against the Penguins during the season. I mean,
I think they're a better team. I think they're a better team.
They did
team
well
than both
against
those teams.
The Islanders once they had Hall and Riley.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Sarr.
Exactly.
And the thing about the Islanders is they obviously, you know, look, they have great goaltending in Semyon Varlamov. However, he hasn't played well. He battled some injuries, and lately it's been the youngsters, Sorokin. That Ilya Sorokin that's taken over for them, and he's played beautifully. He was one of the best prospects outside the NHL for years as he was playing in the KHL, and now he's kind of taken over there. So that's always the the thing that you worry about is that goalie gets hot, which is exactly what's happening right now against Pittsburgh. They got their butts handed to them.
They dominated. Pittsburgh dominated them. it took a dumb mistake by Pittsburgh's goalie in double overtime for them to lose that game. But the Islander, I mean, he stood on his head, and I'm with you, Billy. That's with this Bruins team is rolling. And that's the thing that's we've been here. We've been through the playoffs with this team so many times, and just that's hockey. You get one of these hot goaltenders in Hachimachi. I don't want to see that.
Right. So you know they play tonight. Coliseum in Long Island's going to have about 8,000-9,000 people, which isn't really that shy of capacity.
And if they boost Sidney Crosby, racist, all of them. the Halifax kid.
That's right.
They don't like Halifax. Sure. The Halifax racist. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. My gut tells me somehow, some way, this is going to go to a game seven. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I just feel like Pittsburgh still has it in them because of the way that they've played. But Barry Trotz, and that's the other thing about the Islanders. Barry Trotz, remember when he was with the Caps, holy smokes, the Caps had him and Braden Holtby, and they did a good job against the Boston Bruins at times over the years. Now, I will say this, here, in their last 18 playoff games, okay, the Pittsburgh Penguins are 4-14 in their last 18. They have not shined. They have not been, you know, high level in the playoffs. Now they had great run where they won back-to-back cups a couple of years ago. But the Penguins, I think they've got one push left in them. And if they do, they obviously better do it tonight. They're a good deep team up front. But again, I think the Bruins, I'm not saying it'll be easy. I think, guys, that they end up having the advantage over either team wherever they play.
Do you have any kind of inside track from being around the NHL network about if the series was to end tonight, when everything would start up? Because the Bruins would have home ice. So where would it be?
Home ice, if the Islanders would write. It's really the league and the network sort of comes down to, because as you know, Rich, the NBC Sports takes over the all broadcasting of the games. Mm-hmm. We were talking yesterday about it at NHL Network. They don't have an idea. They don't have a template yet. It's going to have to be Saturday, Monday. I'd be shocked if it was anything else but that. Because if you go back over the years, NBC always wanted the Saturday and Monday, especially the Monday of Memorial Day weekend, because they don't want to do it on Sunday if they have their druthers. It's not a good TV day. But Saturday night, and then they would always like the Monday night because people were coming home, mm-hmm. back off the road, et cetera, and they'd have that 8, you know, it's like an 8:23 start, 8:18, whatever. I don't remember the exact time. And they would get more eyeballs then that way. And to me, going over the history, Rich, I'd be surprised if it's not Saturday, Monday. With all that said, watch them go Sunday, Tuesday, sure. knowing me. But yeah, I think Saturday, Monday.
Regardless of who wins the series, Billy, Bruins are going to have about a week off. Where do you land on this whole rest versus rust thing?
I'm really fine with it right now. I wouldn't want it later much more. And by the way, that's selfishly, I'd love this thing, the Islanders series, to end tonight. I have this inkling of the Pens might find a way. But if they were to end it tonight, it'd be great, because I'd like to see the Bruins get back to game action sooner rather than later, Johnny. But this has been great. You get two full days. Remember, they traveled home after the game the other day. They get two full days off. You get family time. You get to be around everybody. You get to have a little bit of mind relaxation. And now today, if you start working today, which they are, you got 3 days of practice. And this is going to be gold for them, John. They haven't been able to really have practice time where you can work on just, instead of doing like a warm-up and then, you know, 30-minute skate, they're not going to go long, but they're going to work on different things. And I think it's awesome. Look, Kevin Miller, Jeremy Lauzon, Jakub Zboril, in theory, I'd like to think two of those three guys could be back for the start of the second round, whether they're in the lineup or not, but healthy options. So this is good. I don't want to see it go 10 days. I'd love to keep it stayed at 6 days.
All right. Well, listen, Billy Jaffe, watch him on the NHL Network. And then when the Bruins get back at it, watch him on Nesson. Listen to his podcast with Ray Croft over there, Morning Brew. Mm-hmm. We appreciate the time, Billy Jaffe.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm going to go have some morning brew right now. Have a good day.
Enjoy Sikorskis. How dare you not be in the WOR studios. All right. Thank you, Billy Jaffe.
I hope that it's Saturday. Obviously, you hope everything ends tonight because that would be the first event at the TD Garden with a capacity crowd.
Yep.
I almost don't want it to be wasted on the Celtics final game because it's just going to be disappointing. I mean,
why reward the racist infiltrating that place?
It's true.
Might as well hand Hitler the microphone.
But think about that. If the first sporting event at the TD Garden that's going to allow a near capacity crowd is game one of round two of the Bruins, the roof's going
to
come off.
And you would have to figure it would be Saturday if the Islanders wrap this thing up tonight. Because, you know, every other day would make it Friday, but the Celtics have the home game Friday night, game three. So that pushes game one of the Bruins to Saturday, I would bet. Sometime on Saturday, if the Islanders win tonight, that would be the game.
So just correct me if I'm wrong. It's masks on at the TD Garden, correct? Starting Saturday?
Unless you're eating or drinking. So,
yes.
So do it. Okay. So basically, if you get out of your seat, you got to wear a mask. Basically, that's what it is.
Okay, that's the rule. Okay, I didn't know whether that's or not a, it was just no masks anymore and that the TD Garden was cool with that.
I think it's masks on. It's just look what other people are doing and copy them. That's what I've been doing this whole time. I've gotten no gruff from anyone. I just copy what they're doing. I'm seeing a lot of people's faces. I coach these teams, and I'm seeing a lot of these kids' faces for the first time. It's very strange. By the way, do you think Tom Izzo's afraid of... Just you think he's afraid?
No.
Non-conference Michigan State basketball schedule.
Okay.
Kansas, Duke, Villanova, Baylor, Syracuse.
Whoa.
Skaboobie.
Oh, man. All of those are going to have to be done before January, too. And then
then, by the way, the Big Ten's no cakewalk, Jack.
You're playing all six of those teams in the last 6 weeks of this year, and then you have to play in the Big Ten?
Mm.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be punished for it. They'll probably have a play-in game again.
Yeah, they'll go, 19-11.
Yep,
and 18-12.
And then they'll look at it, and they'll go, Duke ended up not being that great. And then you're like, well, they beat Duke. They beat Duke at Duke. Well, there was no fans. Okay. All right, so we will be back while we are gone. Really review why you boo people and take a mental inventory of why you're so horrible. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
My mom passed away when I was young, so my dad had to raise my sister and I alone. He was a great player. He even tried out for Boston once. But he sacrificed his dream so I could live mine.
Good shot.
You remember what you told me? If I could beat you, I could beat anybody.
He's the reason I wear number 11. I want to be the reason no one else will.
And that's my son talking about me.
And then came Peyton Pritchard.
I'm sacrificing my life for my son and daughter. I drive all over this great region. And either for my daughter, I'm standing, and for my son, I'm sitting in a lawn chair. And that is my life.
You and Dan Roach sitting in that lawn chair.
When's the season's over?
I don't know. In June at some point when my son goes to camp. But I coach my son, so I have to coach my daughter. So I'm standing in the soccer. I'm just literally just standing there. And then I know I annoy the guy who knows what he's doing because I just sit and see how far away I can kick a goal from. Mm-hmm. Like, so he'll be talking to the team, and they're obviously distracted anyway because they don't care what he's saying. And I'll be, like, sitting there like, kicking balls. Like, ooh, I made it from, like, cheering to myself. I made it from 20 yards away. Yeah, soccer sucks. It's so boring and stupid.
Well, I told you about the time that I was... So, my son was going to be playing soccer, and my wife convinced me. She goes, hey, you know, listen, he's getting older. It's going to be one of the last times you'll be able to coach him. you know, and I said, I don't know anything about soccer. And she said, well, you could be an assistant coach because they need assistant coaches too. And I was like, all right. So if my job is just basically to wrangle the kids
and encourage
and keep them from running, I said, yeah. I can do that. So I signed up as an assistant coach and I show up on the very first day. And I say, hey, where's my team going to be? Because, all right, you're the coach of this team. Head on over here. So I'm standing there waiting for my team to show up, and all the kids start showing up. And I realize I'm looking around. I'm like, where's the other coach? Like, where's the head coach? So I walk up to the table, and I say, hey, I'm the assistant coach for so-and-so team. Where's the head coach? They go, no, you're the only coach. I'm like, I know nothing. Literally, yeah. I don't know the rules of
soccer.
Same
with me. I still don't know the rules. Like where you put the ball after, like, on a goal kick. Like, I don't know any of that.
How many players are on the field? Like, I don't know the names of the positions.
It depends on the age. Either. It's 7-on-7 until you get to a certain age, and it's 9-on-9.
Well, no, but it wasn't 7-on-7. It was something different. Now it's 7-on-7, but it was different before.
Right.
I mean, the exact same way. It was me and another guy, but then a guy saw our first game and decided to step in and, like, help.
Good. But you know what I did, though, Fred, from the walk back from the table back to where the teammates were? I Googled kids soccer drills. And I, like, in the 30 seconds I had to walk over there, I saw this, like, cone drill they could do. And I had them just basically running laps and doing cone drills for
steal
the entire
the
hour.
Steal the bacon, baby.
Is that the
you
one where
you go wrong with steal the bacon?
You try to knock the ball away from the one kid.
It's all stupid. I wasn't going to talk about this on the radio. But so, like, it's me. So the guy who knows what he's doing wasn't there on Saturday. And, so it's real hot, right? Like, and so we only had one extra player. Mm-hmm. And so this girl started throwing up and stuff. And so once a girl starts throwing up, I'm like, all right, well, we're going to start. I'm going to be like Claude Julien here. I'm going to be putting kids in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you go, all right, you're going in. And so I'm substituting like a maniac. And the coach goes from the other team goes, you can't be doing that. You can't be subbing like that. And I'm like, you're up by 7 goals. And she goes, well, I don't care. But this is disrespectful to the officials. And I go,
what?
I go, of course you care. Like, what do you have, 10 heads? What are you talking about? Stop bothering me. And so the other coach goes, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not ever coaching again. Get on your side of the field. I don't care.
Jesus, God. Oh, my Lord. Like,
how dare you take this so seriously?
And so, this lady's like insane. And I'm like, and apparently we weren't even doing anything wrong. Apparently you don't need the permission of the official, which was so stupid. Like, they're high school kids. Screw them. Like they're getting paid.
They don't care.
Like, what? And if they did care, they need a mental examination to care about fourth grade girls soccer officiating. The idea is to get in and out, to move things along. I was an ump when I was in when I was like a freshman and sophomore in high school. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other kid wouldn't show up, and so I'd be behind the plate. And I had a coach one time go, like, well, you're going to make calls from behind the plate at first base. Like, you should run down there. And I just started laughing at him. Like, yeah. I'm going to go down there. It's 90 degrees at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. And I have my ump equipment on. Yeah, I'm going to book it on down to first base to make sure your kid, to make sure I call this on the level. Get out of here.
The amount of crap, too, that parents will give these referees is insane.
See, I have to tell you that I have not experienced any of that.
Ooh.
And I have coached hundreds of hours
children's
sports.
I
will say that for the girls' sports, the other coaches annoy me. I shouldn't be saying any of this on the radio, but in the girls' sports, the other coaches really annoy me.
Was I right when I said that the girls' soccer is 10 times more intense than the boys' soccer is?
I wouldn't say I haven't had any problems with any parents or anything like that ever from anyone. And so, no, but I don't like the way that some coaches talk to girls. Like, they talk to them like they're idiots. Like, okay, guys, like, okay.
How old are they?
Fourth grade.
Nine,
like,
10. That,
this isn't so much soccer, because I have no idea what's going on in soccer, literally. But, like, in softball, like, so I talk to the girls in a normal voice. which then I get concerned that the parents don't think I'm doing enough because the other team's got like banners and like, you know what, like the banners and like they're doing cheers. And I'm like, that's nonsense.
Have you been emasculated while you're out there? Have you had a parent step in and show you what you're doing wrong in front of the kids?
I've had parents, I've had other coaches like help the girls in the batter's box, which is something that I don't think you should do.
I had one time, and this was double a kick in the balls because I was the coach of my son's baseball team, and my son was up at bat, and he just wasn't hitting anything, and one of the other dads came in and showed him how to swing.
Yeah.
Like, stood behind him and, like, held the bat, and, like, wait, this is how you do it. Here's how you hold it. So not
just
only
off the sidelines?
Yeah. Came walking in.
A-hole.
And I was like,
I mean, what a jerk.
Whoa.
Oh, stop it. What a jerk. Big, you do it then. That's the thing, is that, like, I'm sure, Rich, that it would not have offended you if someone from the league said, you know what, we got a guy, he's coached his kids before, he's this super coach, would you mind if he coached with you? And I'm sure you would have said, fantastic, and you would have deferred to him when he wanted you to do things. I mean, you coach then. Do you think that like, I really wanted to come here today and do this? Like, you do it.
But it was a double whammy because
You should have said, get away from my son. You should have said, stop doing this. First of all, you shouldn't screw with the kids while they're batting. They don't want to hear it. And
they're already having like they don't and you're embarrassing
you
them
don't they, the well yeah it's horrible and like he's an infant to get behind him and start like this. First of all, I've never done that ever. My kids are pretty good, and I never at any point stood behind them and like went, all right, here's how you do it.
That's
like
insane.
That's so stupid. You know, they can, God, people think kids are dumb. You know, they can look at you and copy what you're doing if you spend enough time in it. No. And I don't do it. I don't think you should do it during a game at all. I don't think you should coach them during the game except for mental things like where to go with the ball and stuff, which they ignore.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
these kids, they don't know what the hell's going on.
I've had good parent experiences, though. There was a coach one time who ran onto the soccer field and started screaming at one of my players, like started yelling at one of the kids and told the refs, like, this kid is too violent. He's knocking kids over. And like, I'm looking at the other coach and I'm going, like, who are you talking about? He goes, this kid, and drills his finger in the middle of the kid's chest, walks the middle of the field, makes a scene.
Jesus.
And the kid starts crying. I think I told you this, but I've got a friend of mine who is this boxer who's the nicest guy in the world, and I've never seen him like get angry. All I know is at that point I saw him slowly walk to the middle of the field, and this guy turned white who was yelling at the kid. I don't know what he was saying, but this boxer guy walked out and said something that made this guy freak out, and they both walked off the field. And I was like, oh, I guess that ended that.
Yeah, I've never seen that's crazy behavior. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, well, I see it all the time.
That's so funny. Have you seen it?
No.
I haven't even. And
you've never seen like a parent stuff. Or a coach go in and start screaming at kids?
No.
Or
not during the game. No.
Ooh. No.
No. Maybe it's that city rage.
Yeah. Don't sleep on that.
Super competitive
right
city
that.
Rage.
That's crazy.
And you know, this is now I'm in a whole travel situation where people are paying money and stuff. I haven't seen anything like
I've seen confrontations after games, after youth games. A youth soccer game when my kids were younger, I saw that, but never during the game.
I haven't seen anything. I've never seen a confrontation. I've never had a parent be a dick to me. I really haven't.
There's a level of intensity that I don't know why it's happening where mine happens, but
yeah, completely misplaced.
It's regularly intense.
It's completely misplaced intensity. It's nonsense.
Why
aren't they just happy they get to drop their kid off for an hour? Like, just, you get to drop your... And by the way, if you're such an expert on sports, then you coach your kid. You do it. You do everything. No.
But nobody wants to take the blame when things don't go well.
Yeah, but what blame? They don't even keep score in these leagues. They don't keep score. I mean, the girls know, but they don't keep score in the softball and who cares?
Now, this I do know because this happened to my sister-in-law's son on line one.
But I get it. Rocco, go ahead.
What's happening, guys?
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen,
go ahead.
Before I get to this incident, I did decide to sell those tickets for $15,000.
Oh, you sold how many tickets? Wow. How many tickets was it for the? You're talking about the Bucks game, right?
Yeah. Remember I called in? Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So
yeah,
you sold the tickets.
So,
okay.
Let me get to this incident, right? So we're in Connecticut for a tournament, and you know my son plays pretty competitive basketball, and they got like a 6'3 kid on the team. He's like in seventh grade. He's 13. We got like a 6 foot kid. The other coach stops the game, flips out, and starts asking for birth certificates.
I would too.
No, you wouldn't.
It's a business.
Come on. No, you wouldn't.
If you were in a how much were you paying for your kid to be on that team?
Oh, yeah. No.
It's the other guy's business. If his team wins or loses, it affects his business. You have now entered into professional sports.
But a seventh grader?
Yeah. My business is this seventh grade team, and if this guy's going to cheat and load his team with older kids, I want to see the birth certificate.
But isn't there an approval process when they get into the league that it has to be checked? It's not the other coach's job to check.
He might have heard that there was shenanigans going on and he wanted to see it. That's a business.
Well, apparently there wasn't shenanigans.
Well, okay, then everyone's fine. Play ball.
You see that? See, to me, that's
a business. This is not Little League.
It is. Well, seventh grade. I mean,
it's a travel league. Then don't have your kid playing it because they're paying money. In their business plan, and if you're cheating, first of all, it happens. So that's why you need birth certificates because people cheat.
But usually, that stuff gets caught before the league starts when you're signing them up for the league.
But at this point, at that point, you're playing travel baseball or basketball, and you are. It is the guy's business. It's the coach is getting paid. It's what he does for a living. And if you're cheating, then that affects his business.
But if someone came up to me and asked me for my son's birth certificate, I'd say, go F yourself. No.
They don't ask you. They don't ask the parent. They ask the team. And so it's a business transaction.
Well, in this case, they ask the parent. And my sister-in-law has
it a town league or an AAU league?
It was a travel team.
Okay, well, that's the guy's business.
They went to the parent and asked for a birth certificate.
Well, that's not how it should be done.
Well, they did
that. The coach should have a binder of birth certificates. But, I mean, if it's my business and the guy's cheating, because the reason you have to have birth certificates because, I mean, they've cheated in the world championship game. But these are guys that are getting paid. I don't blame them. If you're going to cheat, but no, they shouldn't. I don't know why they stopped the game. But, I mean, and that's not even an insult. That's a compliment. If they ask for your kid's birth certificate, so good. You should be happy.
Oh, this guy was such a dick. He went right up to her. He's like, I'd like to see your son's birth certificate. Well, I don't have to give you anything.
That's not the way it should go. They believe me, I've been through all this. They acquire the birth certificates. But the minute that it starts becoming a business, that's what it is. It's the business. But no, they shouldn't be talking to the parents at all. But, I mean, these guys got to make a living. And so I don't blame them.
Oh, by the way, somebody makes a good point. Someone said, clearly none of you have kids that wrestle. Stuff breaks out at those youth tournaments all the time. Been a wrestling dad for 11 years. They're insane. Now,
where do you wrestle?
I mean, there's leagues around here. I have a friend of mine whose kids both wrestle, and he's told me all these horror stories. And I almost kind of get that because you've got another kid like grabbing your son, you know, by the neck, and you could do something slightly wrong that you know could be wildly dangerous. I could see how you could see red a little bit, but it gets intense, like really intense. And I hear of like parents
torture youth wrestling. Oof.
Yeah,
making your kid wrestle. Is there anything grosser than wrestling?
I have friends of my kids wrestle.
It's so gross. Yeah. It's so, there's no glory in it. It's so gross.
Oh, you see, I would want my kids to wrestle.
But it's kind of like this weird, like, not cult thing, but it's kind of like...
Oh, it's cultish.
You get it, well, you get into lacrosse, and then you're a lacrosse guy. Kids have gotten into wrestling, and they stay with it. It's something else.
See, I think wrestling is one of the sports that, like, you can keep with you throughout your life. Like, I think that, because you can be any size, and you can be great at it.
Yeah, but also, team sports is more than the sport, obviously. It's the relationships and working within a structure. And,
well, that's not dismissing team sports. I just think wrestling is a great individual sport.
What are you going to do? You're going to wrestle a guy of 45?
I saw small guys walking around school at Peacock.
You want to wrestle? Let's wrestle during the commercial break.
I can't think of anything I would have less liked to do than wrestle.
What was the story?
No one's ever told me. In fact, I was having a conversation with a guy about wrestling yesterday because he was talking about when he was a youth wrestler and what he had to do to make weight. I've never had a story.
Yeah.
I've never had a conversation with someone about wrestling where they were like, you know what? It was really fun. Like, the whole time I was having a blast. It's all like the horrible crap you had to do to make weight, and now they check you for your hydration level, and they weigh you before the season.
That's right.
And there's all this nonsense, and you get cauliflower ear, and you got your everyone smells like balls, and you're just rolling around in ball sweat. Like, the whole thing is so gnarly. Listen,
football wasn't much different.
At least you're outside. Like, for the most, except for the summer when there's no air conditioning and they make you do summer wall sits for 5 hours because it's a guy who just got off the team and has nothing going on in his own life and he's taking it out on you. But wrestling is just, it just is ball sweat and cauliflower ear. Like, everything
is
just.
It's a religion to these people. It is.
That's the morning show that is going to replace
ball sweat and cauliflower ear.
Yeah.
Them and free beer and hot wings are the new thing. Hardy says there's adult wrestling leagues.
Oh,
he just texted me.
And then there was Michael Hurley.
I was just going to bring that story up, the Greco-Roman thing in the library.
He'd go to detention, and the teacher who ran it would say that each one of them had to wrestle him shirtless at the beginning of detention.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm going to say that you're stepping on some real molestery grounds on that thing. That is
molestery.
I didn't know how to phrase it. I don't know. You got to keep your shirt on and don't be touching the kids. You keep them clothed in a way. See, that's wrestling. He probably thought it was great because he just loves ball sweat and so much he couldn't get enough. He just wants to bathe in it. Ew, wrestling. That room that, like, no one else ever went into at school.
Yep.
Ew.
It's true.
Those big sweaty mats.
Oh, Hardy was being sarcastic. He was talking about how you said you can take it into your life. And he said, well, you can't wrestle when you're 50. You can play baseball when you're 50, but I'm afraid to get hit. All right, we'll be right back.
Talking about the game is no game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listen, you're enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Oh, you guys, stack it up. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
All right, there's a story that broke this morning that, to be quite honest, it was so long that I didn't even feel like reading the whole thing. All I know is the gist of it is apparently the guy that made the whole Spygate scandal investigation go away by donating money to Arlen Specter's campaign was none other than Donald Trump. It has been found. Donald Trump, I guess, said that he was doing it on behalf of Robert Kraft, which I don't think that Robert Kraft probably would want that out there if that was indeed true or whatever you believe of it. I didn't get to read the rest of it, but so there you go. So you can thank Donald Trump for Spygate kind of that investigation going away. And that's according to Arlen Specter's son. He is, of course, the senator who apparently took the donation and a ghostwriter.
There is so much going on that we don't know about. To be in cahoots with the billionaires, they are really... We're sitting here babbling about nonsense and they're out there paying guys off and making things happen. We're all but puppets in the scheme of them. They all live in the mountains, you know.
They do. That's right. And they burn owls in secret ceremonies.
They do have secret ceremonies, though, which is weird. Yeah. That's like true.
Where is that? Because that's like once a year, all of the most powerful and wealthy people in the world apparently meet in the woods. And there's a owl that they make, almost like Burning Man. And they end up lighting it on fire, and then they just basically decide the fate of all of us for over the next, like, 4 or 5 years.
But people have snuck cameras into the area, it has occurred before.
It's just a big D&D game, Fred, because we know they're all like super nerds anyway.
Well, that's the thing. If your kid's playing D&D, take the hit now because they'll be paying for your nursing home later.
That is true. Well, Chris Sims seems to know a little bit about this whole Julio Jones situation.
Love Zach Wilson. He's always right.
There you go.
Listen, from what I know, from people I know in the NFL, he had no idea he was on the air yesterday. I found that out from somebody in the know here that, yes, he and his agent were very disappointed after. And if that is the case, I mean, yeah, that's kind of messed up by Shannon Sharp. I was told by someone that the Titans and the Patriots are very much on his radar. We'll see where that goes.
Okay, so he wants to be... Well, I know that yesterday you had Trent Brown tweeting Julio Jones saying, come join the Patriots.
And then he said, look at these two ladies servicing me on my arm. If you don't know, Trent Brown has a tattoo of a man in a Trent Brown jersey with two heads right around crotch level of sassy females.
And it's like right there for the world to see on his arm.
He was so happy that it happened.
The best is that, you know, you get cameras in a locker room and like newspapers like the Boston Herald and Boston Globe will take a picture of Trent Brown speaking to the media from that side. So there you have it on the front page of the Boston Globe sports section.
You know how
that tattoo staring you in the face.
Can you imagine having to talk to that guy? Your livelihood is based on his performance. And he got that stupid ass tattoo. What, really? Imagine if your kid came home with that tattoo. You're like, well, okay. Well, I got to remove myself from this situation.
I just imagine like him like going applying for like a loan somewhere. Like he's a football player, so he has a lot of money. But imagine just like, oh, well, sir, you are approved. And he reaches out for the handshake. You see the tattoo. Hey, not
so I know bad. You just wear the short sleeve shirt, so you only see the women. You don't see the guy.
And that's a tattoo that like takes a while. I mean, that's got to be like a foot of tattoo.
Oh, yeah. It's now listen, it's not like super colored.
No, it's horrible.
Nice. It's like, you know,
it's a horrible tattoo. Like
you really gotta want this thing.
I don't think a reputable tattoo artist is gonna do that. Like they're not gonna sign their name at the bottom.
Yeah. Like what was that conversation like?
I know.
I would like a tattoo of my arm of myself wearing my own jersey being pleasured by two ladies.
Yeah, by the back of their heads. And can you in your wedding day, I mean, do it at a trap. Tropical paradise.
Yeah. Dan just said, here's a picture of it for reference.
Now one of the women's wearing a ring.
Yeah.
Sweet, wasn't it? My gift to you, honey. You're one of the women.
That's right. You go back for a touch-up. Say, could you put a ring on that woman's finger?
Yeah.
Leave like, the other one
at this one's playing with my nipples with her left hand. It's just ring on it.
Well, someone just got paid.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Guy Fieri is rolling in the cash. The Food Network has agreed to pay him $80 million over 3 years.
That's got to make him one of the highest paid media people in the world.
Well, so I read this yesterday. If he played in the NFL, he would be the 15th highest paid player, more than Tom Brady, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., and Amari Cooper. That's how much money he has made from going to some diners, drive-ins, and dives. Yeah.
Winner, chicken dinner.
And it's like to produce shows. So, like, he produces shows like Me and My Kid Traveling. So, I mean, he might have the best job in the world. He dictates everything.
So he, Fred, apparently, according to this thing that I read, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives ended up getting over $200 million in billing last year alone. In 1 year,
Now, everyone wants to be associated with the Fier. They want to paint flames on their own Camaro.
I read this article about what it takes, like what it's like to be one of the restaurants on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Essentially, first of all, you don't get paid for it, but they're cool with that because you get the great advertising.
It's the best advertising you ever get.
Second of all, you have to close down for, I think it's 4 full days, and it's almost at a minute's notice.
They have to do a bomb sweep to make sure that no one's coming after Fieri.
Yeah.
I mean, because who doesn't want a piece of that?
Sure.
They got to check that your jalapeno hoppers are hopping at their hottest.
That's right.
There are all these, like, rules about with Guy Fieri. It was
don't
like...
Don't look at him in the eye.
Yeah, like, don't ask him any questions.
You can't wear Oakleys.
He's apparently a really nice guy, but there's certain things that they do that have to move this thing on.
Oh,
they
sure.
They got to move it. Like, everyone wants him to, like, try something that's not on the menu. Basically, everything is ready to go when he walks in.
It has to all be out of bounds. Nothing inbounds.
Right. And they measure. They measure to make sure.
They're like, okay. Right. They have like, you know, the king had someone taste his food. Do they have someone just to see if it's truly out of bounds?
Is this extreme enough for me?
They've worked on his palate for years. They keep it fresh.
They jump through hoops like sommeliers do. They got to make sure.
To become a sommelier, that's nonsense.
He tastes it and goes, I'm sorry. This is not on like Donkey Kong.
It's this chicken dinner has lost.
Mm-hmm. Loser.
Yeah. I mean, I saw how gooey it was. Right. I thought it was going to be out of bounds, but the visual gooiness did not match.
Sorry. It did not.
We can't do this to our audience.
No. So Wayne Gretzky has officially quit the Oilers front office gig because he is now a member of the TNT team that they are putting together for the new NHL broadcast.
His daughter's part of the TNA team. Talking about boobs and butts.
Together.
Wayne Gretzky, congratulations for being named Wayne Gretzky. Because you are the only hockey player everyone knows in the history of hockey, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely true. And for that, and having absolutely no charisma, you will be granted $3 million. I have met Wayne Gretzky. I have met him and interviewed him.
Mm-hmm.
Rucker got a jersey signed.
Yep.
Was he...
Which he took with him.
Was he a good guy?
I thought
when you met him, or was he
just down the hall?
Oh, it is down the hall.
It's somewhere in this building.
Yeah, he was great. He was really nice. I mean, it wasn't like the greatest thing in the world or anything, but I took a picture with him, and it was nice. He knew I was going to interview him. But I'll tell you, the people outside of the hotel waiting for him to come out.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, they were really good, cool guys.
Oh. Were some of them redheaded?
He doesn't wait outside.
He was
in the window.
Oh, okay. Mystery redhead.
He was hanging by a ledge going with his eyebrows going up and down going, Like, seriously, if Gretzky signs like a puck for you, what's that worth? $50? $100?
There's a lot of Gretzky autographs out there.
Yeah, but not the rookie card.
No.
He will only sign that for his children. Very smart. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. 4 hours of why Boston's a terrible racist dump. That will be us. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.